Welcome back to another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I am your host, Alan Pettigrew Jr., and in front of me is my best friend in the world, Calvin McGowan. Calvin, go ahead and let the people hear your voice.
Once again, everybody, it's a pleasure to be here. You know, college basketball season has started. I've been watching some games, you know, the ones that I can manage to watch. And, like, it's been fun, and, like, I'm glad to be here once again to talk about it.
And with that being said, since this is the Traveling Hoopers NBA show, I do got to let you guys know we're going to be talking about college basketball. And to spice it up and have it a little bit NBA focused, we are going to throw in some NBA 2022 prospects and possibly even some 2023s who are doing really good to start off the year. But me and Calvin, we're talking about how this is kind of like, at least for most teams, this is the warm up. So it's not like they're playing the D3 schools that they were playing against in the preseason, but let's just say Kendall Brown looked like a god against Nicholls State, and I just don't know if he's going to look like a god when he goes up against Kansas, where there's like size. But Calvin, go ahead and tell the people what you were talking about with the slate of games.
Okay, so like it's felt like one in terms of like you're talking about like good games in terms of like having, you know, ranked teams roll up on each other, right? I felt like you've gotten more of those good games early from like the women's side of things, right? But like even with some of the more interesting men's games, right? And we'll get to Gonzaga and Texas here before too long, but like for example, and granted, now I think about it, both these games involve SEC schools, right? But like Alabama, the Alabama men's team played South Dakota State, which tends to be a very good mid-major, right? Which, you know, that's good. You know, if they're playing a good mid-major, it's fun. It was a good game if you got to see it, but it was on, like, ESPN Plus and SEC, like the SEC Network Plus or whatever. Yeah. And it's just kind of like, why don't you put this on, like, one of the, like, ESPN, ESPN2? This seems like the kind of game you would want on. Good teams playing each other instead of, like, I don't, Duke blowing out some team that most folks don't really care about like that, right? Or, like, why is a ranked women's game, 23, South Florida and 17, Tennessee, correction, 16, Tennessee, for on the women's side, stuck on like SEC Network Plus, as opposed to like, I don't know, even like ESPN3. Like, no, I don't care what the Quinnipiac men's team is doing right now. Like, I'm sorry, I just don't. Like, it's, and like I'd rather watch like the ranked women's game. But that's, maybe that's just me, and like I just like good basketball. But like, yeah, and like, I don't know, it's just, granted,
it just sounds like college basketball has a scheduling issue when it comes to televised games, especially this early in the season. We're gonna see if it gets better, but we're known to especially have the really good women's teams relegated to like lower channel. Like, I don't even think the WNBA finals was like on regular ESPN. So like, we're always going to have that not always. I imagine it's going to change eventually, but we have that disparity, and it's weird.
Like South Carolina and North Carolina State were on like ESPN, right? But they're also, I think, what, number one and number five at the time they played or something? Like, number two and number five? So, it's just, I don't know. I'd rather just have the best basketball on TV. Like, I'm, like, granted, right, I'll watch some game that, like, most people aren't gonna care about too much, right? Like, I would pay attention to, like, Drake in South Dakota, or whatever, because like Drake's tended to be a pretty good mid-major as of late, but like, I don't know, it's just, I feel like there are games both on the men's side as well as the women's that feel like they should be in front of more people. I'll put it that way. But like as we go on, we're going to get some more of those marquee matchups. You know, Gonzaga's going to start playing more folks. All of the ranked, like a lot of the ranked teams or like even just kind of good teams are going to start playing more good opponents. Because like you said, like that first week is kind of the warm up for most teams, right? Unless you're Gonzaga, but like then you could argue that everything is the warm up because again, you know, let's talk about Gonzaga and Texas right quick.
Mean the Gonzaga Steamrollers?
Like, yes, like Gonzaga just in case, you know, for those of y'all who haven't watched much college basketball, Gonzaga, who's currently ranked number one in the country, or at least was as of that game, which was what, Saturday?
Yeah, it was Saturday. If they fell down the rankings, everybody who voted is painfully drunk.
But Gonzaga was, granted, I only rolled through around halftime because I remembered, oh, this game is happening, right? But like Gonzaga was in full control, let's put it that way. At the half, Drew Timmy, current front runner for National Player of the Year coming into the season, had 22 points, right, by himself, and the entire Texas team had 27. Like, this is going into the half. And, like, it didn't get much better after halftime, which was kind of wild to me, like, because, you know, Chris Beard is generally regarded as a very good coach. I was expecting some adjustments, right? And I didn't feel like I saw adjustments. If there were adjustments, right, I, you know, talked about this game with my dad, who's coached basically everything, is pretty good at the whole coaching thing. And, like, he suggested, you know, if you're not going to have, have a dude ready to, like, rotate over when he turns. But, like, even if we think about that and, like, dudes trying to get over when he makes that, like, when he pivots to go up, like, dudes weren't getting there fast enough anyway. So it's just, like, even if that was the adjustment Beard made, it wasn't working. And, like, he had 37 at the end of the game. He had 37. Texas let him post up guards. Right.
Calvin, and it was a loud 37. Like, right? Like he was giving it to him. Like, right? All disrespect, looking at the crowd. Like, because you know that's his home state.
I know now.
Yeah, Texas is his home state. So he you know when Paul Pierce did the big ball celebration? Yeah, like that was his energy the entire night, and it was magnificent.
I think it was a home game for Gonzaga though, or was it a neutral court? I don't know offhand. I think it was a home game.
Wait, yeah, you're right. It is a home game. But hey, look, you know some of his friends was there.
Yeah. Like, and it's like the fact that it's a home game, it's like for Gonzaga, you can't hold it too much against Texas because it's kind of like when you put it in that context, the fact that they lost isn't as surprising. It's just like, so by the end of the game, the final score, right, 86-74 Gonzaga, but like it wasn't that close, right? If you watch the game, like it wasn't that close.
Not at all.
And it's just like, if you're Texas, I'd be more upset in particular about that first half. I have no idea. In fairness, I didn't watch the first half. I just saw what the score looked like. But still, it's just like, there's some things for both the coach and the team to work on, right, if I'm Texas. For one, not letting one of the best post players in the country post up your point guard, right? That's a good place to start.
Yeah, and I got in like halfway through the first half, right? And it was ugly from like the jump. Like, when I tell you, you remember how we were talking about last week on the podcast that I imagine Drew Timmy is going to be an island on most nights? Mm-hmm. When I tell you, this man was in the Bermuda Triangle. Like, there was nobody around him. It was just him and some little guard, and he was just taking it to him. Like, he was doing the full repertoire. Like, he looked like he was at practice, bro. Like, it was kind of bad, but he started off like that. Like, he scored the first bucket, and he didn't stop scoring. I think I'm looking at the play-by-play now. He had the first 7 points. Like, he wanted to go hard. He did.
Huh. Okay. It's just, I don't know. It's just like, just thinking about it, it's like you would have expected a less one-sided game.
But look, man, this happened to Kansas last year, too. I think if you were a top 5 or top 10 team, and Gonzaga's like, hey, you want to play me in the first week? Don't do it. Don't do it. Because I don't know if they're just more like Mark Few is that good of a coach where he has his guys dialed in from day one like that. Like, you're just not ready.
Like, just thinking about it now as you're talking with it, I think part of it is, I think it's a couple things. One, I like Few as a coach, DUI notwithstanding. But, like, I do think he's that good of a coach, but also, right, especially with how, both in terms of perception as well as, like, when they start talking about tournament seedings and things, right, Gonzaga's non-conference is a lot more important for Gonzaga than Texas's non-conference is for Texas, for example, right? Which isn't to say that, like, Texas thought this was going to be an easy game, like, as a coach, but also just, like, anybody who halfway pays attention is not that stupid. But, like, Gonzaga has to come out on all cylinders in a way that, like, a lot of those major conference teams don't. Because, right, they get into conference, and in fairness to Gonzaga, their conference isn't as bad as people want to act like it is, right? BYU is usually pretty good. San Francisco tends to be pretty solid. St. Mary's is a good program. But, like, the meat of Gonzaga's schedule tends to be the non-conference, which, whereas with Texas, for example, more, like, they, even though I don't think they did, even though I haven't just peaked their schedule, right, they didn't, I don't think they phoned in their non-conference, but a lot of other programs tend to kind of, comparatively, kind of phone in their non-conference, because they're just like, you know, we're going to get our opportunities to look good in conference. I don't like that, right? Like, I feel like if this is probably more pronounced with bad teams that tend to be not that great in conference, or like middle of the road major conference teams, be like, we won't put a lot of meat on our non-con, so that, like, we look like we might be something when we get lucky, right? And catch a game against Duke while we're at home or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like, that's how you end up with middle of the road, like, high majors getting in over, like, good mid-major teams who didn't play as many top 25 opponents but might have actually gotten a game or two, right, when they did actually have those opportunities. And how did I go back from talking, we just went from talking the game to scheduling again?
Hey, look, that's part of the game, bro. Calvin, so as you were talking, I kind of got I wanted to look into what you were saying about how they schedule so heavy during the non-conference. So I went all the way back to 2016, 2017. You do not want to play Gonzaga in November. They have lost 2 games
in November?
In that time span to top 10 teams. They lost to Florida in 2017-18, and they lost to Duke in 19. And that was at the Maui Invitational. They lost two games in what? A five-year span. And it's not like they playing babies. Like, you, the latter half of that, the what? Basically 17, 18, 19. It's a little bit lighter because they're not the super team, but they're all on the rise. And like, also, if you go back and look at all these rosters, Gonzaga is like scary huge, like always has like 3 or 4 7-footers. It's tough. Like, I see why teams aren't ready for that. But yeah, man, that's the only two losses is a really good Florida team that was number 7, and then Duke, who's also number 7.
Right.
Like, so the formula to beat Duke in November, I mean, to beat Gonzaga in November, is be number 7.
Well, then Duke is in luck this year. At least they stay there. But it's just like, the thing is, right, few, like, to get those good seedings has to have his team basically in mid-season form as soon as the season starts, which actually is kind of wild to think about. And like, I'm looking at their schedule, and it's just, fairness, I don't know if Central Michigan is any good, but like, I would assume the worst teams currently on their schedule are actually Alcorn State, and I'm assuming Merrimack. Again, I have no idea if Merrimack is any good, but Bellarmine is mid. I'm assuming Central Michigan is mid. Like, they're not terrible, but they're not amazing. But like, they got UCLA. Like, this is non-conference. UCLA, like, they got UCLA next Tuesday, right? Then that Friday they have Duke. They have Alabama December 4th. They've got Washington December 12th. They have Texas Tech December 18th. Right? And then I think they have two kind of fluff games, Northern Arizona and North Alabama. What then? They appear to have San Diego. And I think right after that, they're in conference. Is San Diego in the conference too? No. Okay. Yeah. Then after that, I think they're in conference. But it's just like, they have to have those games. Otherwise, you're gonna have the idiots, or like the people who make the decisions for seeding, be like, they ain't playing nobody. It's just like, no. But also, few, like, they've been good long enough that like, big teams will give them those games, right? Because yeah. Like, I'm sure you've heard about that whole thing where like, a mid-major will get good and they will stop getting phone calls for games. Right, the high major teams don't want to play them anymore. Mark Few has been like, and Gonzaga have been good so long that they can get those games now.
Right, yeah, it's rough, yeah. It's rough for them.
Now the fact that like those high major teams, even the really good ones, tend to lose those games, it is what it is. But like, they'll get those games. But to, I don't know, kind of slide away from that for a little bit. What's a lot of, granted, this moving, I guess, to a game I did, stuff I haven't seen in person. Kennedy Chandler has been playing some good basketball going into the season, like at this early point.
Galvin, did you ever doubt it? After watching that man play for those, 10 to 12 games that we watched, did you ever doubt that he wouldn't just hit the ground running?
Not really, but it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's one thing to be like, yeah, I know this kid is cold, and then to see it validated, it feels like it's a different feeling. It's just like, granted, I haven't just seen his games, though they have, their next game is against Villanova on, Saturday, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm gonna definitely watch that. But, you know, through his first two games, granted, neither of the teams they played were particularly good, but, like, through those first two games, he's averaging 18, 3, and 5. Right. He is shooting an unsustainably high amount from three.
Yeah, he's like 6 or 7.
Oh, for real? Like, that's the actual numbers?
Yes.
Okay.
And his shooting from the field is crazy, too. I think he's like 9 of 12. Like, he's not missing shots. And that was like semi one of the knocks coming into this year. It's like he's not like a super shooter. Like, I know that's not going to stay where it is, but if he's shooting, what, let's say a severe drop to what, 35% from three, still really good. And it looks like he's doing it on a good number of shots too. So like that kid's special. I know you said cold earlier, but I sleep under a vent, so I know cold. No, that man's ice cold. Like, that dude is incredible.
Like, it's just like, I want to, especially because, like you said, we've seen him in high school. Like, I want to see what he looks like in college, right? And, like, the thing is, outside of him, like, the team as a whole has been playing good basketball as well. Right, in fairness, right, you expect them to win those games, right? But it's still just like the numbers look pretty solid for the team as a whole, like early. Right, you have, like, outside of Chandler, right, you had 3 other dudes averaging in double figures, right?
Oh, who are those dudes?
I am going to. I'm almost certainly going to mess up 2 of these last names because I've not heard them. But Oliver Nkemhoyu, I messed that up so badly. I apologize.
Just say the initials, bro. We'll get it.
O-N. Okay. But he's averaging 17 points and 11 rebounds. Right. Santiago Viscovi is averaging 13.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1.5 steals. Hasn't been super efficient though, but hey. Justin Powell, 12 points, 2 rebounds. But it's just like, I just want to see the team.
Yeah.
Right, like, their 2 best rebounders are both currently averaging double figures in rebounds, 10 and 11. I am looking forward to the Villanova game, which I'm gonna find a way to watch.
Yeah. So who has Tennessee played?
To this point, it's been 1 moment. UT Martin and East Tennessee State.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not incredible teams, but nonetheless, I think Eastern Tennessee isn't. Yeah, that's ETSU. They usually are pretty good mid-major, right?
They've been pretty solid the last couple years.
Yeah.
But you know, the Villanova game will be fun. The Memphis game will be spectacular. I am looking forward to it. Granted, I felt like both Tennessee and Memphis were ranked lower than they probably should have been going in. Or like definitely ranked lower than like where they can end up. Yeah. Right? I feel like you could look up and like be like both of them are top 5 teams and not be wildly surprised by that outcome. But again, we will see. You know, Memphis in its first 2 games has also looked pretty good. A lot of turnovers, though. That's something for them to work on. But, you know, to start the season, good basketball. Again, I'm just happy they seem to have a fully functioning offense. They still look like they're going to be one of the best defenses in the country. Right? And, you know, Memphis has dudes. Like...
Yeah, I heard Durant is out here looking like a monster early.
Kind of. Like, I think in that first game, he had 5 blocks. Like, 5 or 6 blocks. I'm looking at the numbers now. He's averaging 4 a game through the first 2. Durant's numbers right now are 12.5 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 blocks on 76% shooting.
Damn. Hey, Calvin, I'm much like you. I am also looking forward to that Tennessee-Memphis game, and mainly because I know Bates and Chandler are definitely going to be talking to each other. And they have intense faces, so you know it's going to be. I need a lot of tight shots on both of them.
Like, you just want to hear them talk mess. Like, I was thinking about
that.
Have them
mic'd up, baby. Who I got to talk to about that?
I don't even know which team is the home game for this time. Hold up, let me look. Okay, it looks like it's a Memphis home game.
Oh yeah, so you know Imani Bates about to talk crazy. And I hope they get switched off on each other for some weird reason. I don't care who dudes
you just want to see dudes talking mess to each other. That's what you want.
Exactly. I want that and one, because you know whatever switch off, they're gonna foul the other one.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah. I weirdly have my money on, if that happens, Chandler locking up Bates. He'll bulldog.
I have to see it. Like, I know his defense has been improving, but I've never considered Chandler a lockdown defender. Like, as far as one-on-one goes in particular.
Yeah. No, he's definitely a team defender at this point. We watched what he was doing, how he could see the entire floor, and when he's... That one particular play against who was it? I think it was Montvert, right? Where he like left his man, snuck up behind Buddy, and like took it full court.
Yeah, like a lot of our games we watched with him were against Montvert. Yeah. But yeah, like I don't think he's a bad defender. I'm just not sure how good of a defender, in particular one on one, right? Like, how is he when you put him on an island? And I do not... And, like, I'm not that confident in his game, like, as a man defender. But yeah. In terms of, like, on a team, like, yeah, like, you... He's going to cause opposing offenses problems. He's a bit of a pest off ball. But, yes, looking forward to that game. It will be spectacular. Must see TV. Just I feel it in my bones.
Yeah. Cancel your plans with your girlfriend on Saturday. Go ahead, get some popcorn, sit her in front of the TV with you, explain everything so you guys can be happy, healthy while watching one of the best games in college basketball. Calvin, let's go away. Since we're talking about some of the best teams in college basketball, let's go ahead and pivot to UCLA. What you think about them so far?
Again, still haven't had the opportunity to catch game, but they did just beat Nova in OT.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. Maybe it's just, again, I feel like I was definitely lower on them than a lot of other people coming into the season. I won't pretend otherwise. But you know, they managed to pull out a tough win against Villanova, who's generally a fantastic team year in and year out. It was clearly a close one the entire way. It looks like, just look at the box score and like the half breakdown and all of that. So you know that. I hadn't even thought about that game. I really should have watched that game. But Ju Zhang put up 25.
Yeah. Did you see how many shots Ju Zhang had to take, though? He took 24.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I think that's going to be a problem for them if Ju Zhang needs that much of the offense to score. I know it's still like early in the season and he found his rhythm. But one of the issues with him during the draft process that came up is he needs to shoot a lot.
He's a volume dude.
And on top of that, he doesn't do much else. And you look at the rest of the box score, it's not like he filled it up much anywhere else.
Right. Well, he did have 8 rebounds. Granted, that's through both halves and OT, so I guess, you know. Jaquez Jr., though, like Jamie Jaquez had 21 points, 13 yep. rebounds, and he didn't need all those shots.
What? Didn't he have something crazy like 6 threes?
No, he had 2.
2?
I'm looking at the... Yeah. Jaquez had 2, but it was 50% off. He was 50% from 3. As opposed to Juzang, who hit 1 3 all game, but it wasn't for lack of trying. But in fairness, most folks that like I've kind of see talk about it, Jaquez, like Jamie Jaquez, is generally considered the, like, he'd probably be the dude you consider the better player. And Parks is like, he's more consistent, like, you know what you're gonna get out of him night in and night out. Whereas Juzang can have amazing games and terrible games. There's more variability in his play, I guess.
Yeah, and I think his name is pronounced Jaime Jaquez. At least that's
what I...
Yeah.
Okay, my bad, man.
Yeah, you're Jaquez. Good. Mm-hmm. But no, like, his game was pretty stellar.
But, like, I'm also looking at, like, what Nova's players did, too, though. It's just... This had to be an amazing game to actually see. I'm saying this, I feel... This feels weird. I should have seen this game.
Calvin, we got ESPN Plus. Go ahead, run it back.
Fair. Regardless. Actually, you know what? I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also games I think I want to try and watch. For end of the day would be a good day to get that in, because there's not that much in terms of good basketball going on. At least none that I can watch, because... A good game is going on as we speak, and the men's side is kind of dry. So,
yeah.
But, you know, that was really a fantastic win for UCLA early. Florida State lost to Florida. Didn't really expect that. I wasn't even aware of the game, but I would have assumed Florida State wins that one.
Yeah. And unranked Florida at that.
Yes, and unranked. They're not unranked anymore.
Of course not. That's what happened when you beat a team like that.
Yeah, it looked a lot more lopsided than I was expecting to.
Yeah, but this is one of the younger Florida State teams that has been in a while, right?
I think so. Like, yeah. I think they had more. I think they had a bit more turnover than other teams.
Just
to touch on it for a bit. Because this is a game I actually got to see with my own 2 eyes. Alabama played South Dakota State. So you look at the score, it looks more lopsided than it was to actually watch through most of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I got to see... I'm not going to say I saw the entire game, but I saw most of it. And, like, it was really... Like, it was a really close game through the first half in particular, right? Like, there were points that South Dakota State was up. But, you know, second half started, and it was touch and go for a second there, too. And then, like, you kind of just looked up, and, like, Alabama had, like, a double-digit lead. Like, it just kind of happened like that, right? Like, it just, mm-hmm. you just look up, and Dakota State is down, like double digits. And, like, that happened, like, twice. I just look up, and the lead grew significantly. Bama looked good in the game on the whole, though, right? And, like, of course, for the team as a whole, it's good to play, you know, good teams early. right? South Dakota State, good program. They put up a solid fight. Neither team was exactly amazing from deep. But, like, Quinterly played well, you know, 26 points, 8 assists. Shackelford also played well. Oh, I'm looking at Jesus. Well, I mean, if you take enough threes, some of them have to go down. But I really like how Bediako played. Granted, he wasn't their leading scorer. But, like, I don't know how to describe it. I just like how he played. He finished with 12 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block. All 6 of 7 shooting. Right? He wasn't the volume guy. Davidson was a solid contributor. I'm not going to lie. Maybe because I just don't pay enough attention to Bama. I was expecting him to be more involved, like a bigger part of what the team was doing offensively than it looks like he is. He wasn't bad, though, don't get me wrong. He had didn't have the best shooting night, right? 2 of 7 for 6 points. Wasn't able to hit a 3. But he still had, like, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. He had a steal. So, you know, it was still not a terrible night for him. The team played well. Noah Friedel for South Dakota State put up 23 points off some pretty good efficiency, honestly. It was a fun game. It should not have been relegated to ESPN Plus and the SEC Network Plus. I'm sorry. Like, it should have been on, like, one of, like, ESPN and ESPN2. It was that kind of game, even though, like, it looks like if you just look at the box scores and stuff, like, it looked like Alabama was in far more control through the entire game than they were.
No, I feel you, man. There we go talking about scheduling again. You know, it's always going to be funky early. And so does South Dakota State just not have enough name recognition to really get those type of TV games? Like, it makes me want to go do some digging, but I'm not about to do it.
I think some of it is less. So, like, South Dakota State has been kind of good for a minute. Definitely since, like, around the time they got Mike Dom a while back, who is still, I'd still consider one of my favorite, like, college players. And I'm upset that his teammate shot him out of the game against Ohio State in the tournament. It's like, I get it, y'all hit some big shots, but give it to, like, the giant on your team who's automatic from basically everywhere. Like, just let him close out the game for you. It's okay. Oh, it is a win. I think it's just in the case of this, as well as probably that women's game that's going on right now that I touched on earlier, some of it is like, you have to give people a reason to go and get the SEC Network, right? Like, you got to give them a reason to want to pay extra for that. And the way you do that is put good games on it. Never mind the fact that, like, I'm not going to lie to you, right? Even when I'm in a better position, I'm not getting the SEC Network. I don't care enough about SEC teams, and most of the good games are going to be on the major networks anyway. So it's just like, I don't care about the SEC Network. I don't care about the Big Ten Network. I don't care about the ACC Network. Right? If the AAC had its own network, I wouldn't care about it either. Like, I'm sorry.
And Calvin, that brings us to our sponsor of the day, Pluto TV.
Hey!
With Pluto TV, you get over 1,000 shows for free. Like, you get 1,000 plus television channels for the free. So if you ever need to find that game that's just not coming on there, and I don't know how they get around some of these subscriptions, I do not care. I just know that it is free and it costs me nothing. So I would tell everybody I know to go get Pluto TV until, you know, Pluto TV doesn't have things for free anymore. And at that point, the sponsorship may go away. So congratulations to Pluto TV again, guys. Go ahead and find that at PlutoTV.com, or you can download the app. But I prefer to do it online because you're not coming after me whenever that, whatever governing body comes to shut that down. Not coming to get me.
I'm just seeing what the rest of their schedule looks like. There is a decent chance that Bama is probably the best team the South Dakota State is going to play all year. Granted, they have Nevada and Washington on their schedule, but I don't know how good Washington is going to be or even is. I assume Nevada, they tend to be pretty solid. George Mason is pretty solid in major. They also have Washington State. They'll have some other opportunities to add some solid wins to schedule. This is probably the best team South Dakota State is going to play until the tournament, right? Should they be so fortunate as to make it there. Which again goes into the whole high major teams not scheduling good mid majors thing, which I will not harp on because we could be here all day. Yeah. Also, Kansas, you know, y'all won your games. Looked pretty good.
And I was saying, look, Oshae Ogbaje has made the leap.
He's put up numbers.
Yeah, and he looks good doing it. You know, last year he could do some things off the bounce. But no, it's like full-on ability to create his own shot. Really good slasher. He's always been a big, powerful body at 6'5", but he got some wiggle now. Like he's a bucket. He's for real. And yeah. So, do you got the stats pulled up in front of you?
Yeah, he's averaging 27 right now. 60% shooting and 46 from deep.
Who are they playing?
Played a Michigan State team that I'm not entirely sure how good they're gonna be, and Tarleton
has some dogs on it. A lot of their guys came from Dallas over the last 2 years, and they literally just pick up the toughest guards that we have down there that are kind of going under the radar. I believe they got Noah McDavid, who at 6'4" can kind of do everything. He could score for you. He can hit it in the mid range. Decent shooter from deep, but his real thing is being a really big guard that can make plays for you. And then there's another really tough guy who played at Mansfield High School. I can't think of his name right now, but he's scary. I'm actually really surprised that Tarleton picked him up, considering just how good he was that year. Give me a quick second. Let me pull up his name. All right, we're just gonna have to edit this part out. Oh, found it. Joey Madimba. He was one of the toughest guards. Generally picking up your best ball handler. Super physical, strong, athletic, and just a dog. So that's the type of guys that Tarleton has. So the fact that he got numbers against them, he played some dudes.
And that dude who I mentioned, I'm pretty sure I brought up last podcast about how Kansas just went and got a ridiculous amount of talent in transfers. The dude who I mentioned, let me see if I can find his name, because I will probably continue to draw blanks from now until the end of time. Yes, Cam Martin. He apparently has opted to redshirt, which I did not know. I was wondering why he wasn't getting any playing time. Apparently that's just because they're gonna need bigs next year anyway, so the idea of a bigger role. I think that the most of it, like, you know, a chance to work on your game, even though, like, everybody else is gonna go playing and, like, and whatever. But yeah, so, you know, that's nice. Wait, who's Kansas got on the schedule?
Ooh, let's see their schedule. Because, you know, they always got the really tough Big 12 conference. Even though it might be another, like, somewhat down year for them all together. But let's see, the big names that, this non-conference is not looking great, Calvin.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. This seems kind of weak. They did squeeze it. They are squeezing Kentucky in January because, I don't know, they just decided to squeeze Kentucky in January.
Yeah. Was that the Big 12 SEC challenge most likely?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking at this non-conference. This is kind of weak.
UTEP? No disrespect to UTEP, but Harvard?
Harvard tends to pretty decent teams. Like, they've been a solid team. It's been a solid program for a minute now.
Yeah, but what are they going to do against Kansas?
Sure, but that's why you play the games. But, like, it's a game you would expect Harvard to lose, though.
Yeah. Look, I'm just happy that December 11th we get the border battle back. Like, we have not had that in, 5 to 7 years, if memory serves correctly? Ever since Missouri went to the SEC to get bumped on the regular, they could have just stayed at home and got beat up. Yeah. It was a nice little 2-hour trip for y'all to just go ahead and get thrashed by, 10-15. Calvin, we're going to have to talk more. I got to get you in the culture because I know it's been a while and you're not from Kansas City. So you don't get the impact of what it means to have Missouri and Kansas play on a regular. Dog, we hate them. Like, whatever side you choose, you hate the other side for no given reason. Like, I don't even know Missouri fans, bro.
So it's more or less the same thing as, like, the Memphis UT games, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Fairness, I actually tend to like Tennessee's teams since Barnes has gotten there. But, like, it's still super fun games, and they've gotten kind of snippy. Right? But, you know, like, that's part of the fun.
Exactly. Now we can go back to, you know, you know, it would be more fun if I knew more Missouri fans. Literally, the entire family is, like, diehard Kansas with it. Like, and I grew up in Belton, which is, like, 35 minutes away from Kansas. So I do not know any Missouri fans. That got to be on the other side.
Well, it probably doesn't help that, like, Missouri hasn't been that good for a little minute now.
Man, I'm talking about even growing up. Like, even when they had, like, a nice little run for, I want to say, about, like, 5 years where they were consistently ranking, like, the top 25. Like, they had guys. I can't think of my man right now, but he plays for the Utah Jazz. He just won the Sixth Man of the Year.
Clarkson?
Yes, Jordan Clarkson was at Kansas during that time. They had, like, they were producing NBA players during that time where they were, like, solid. It might only be one or two of them on the roster compared to Kansas where they was going to have, like, 5 to 6 usually. Like, that was, like, the Mario Chalmers era. Like, that's when it was, like, real hot for us. But I'm just glad that it's back, and I hope that is a continuous thing so, you know, we can go back to having an easy W on the an easy W on the thing that means a lot to everybody instead, like, of, you know, bumping Harvard.
I mean, fairness, I would, granted this might not be fair to Missouri, but I would think that Harvard would give you a better game than Missouri would.
Ooh, Konzo Martin would like a word with you, my friend.
He probably would. That's okay. Like, that's why you play the game. But, like, granted, this is just, like, fandom. right? This isn't strictly basketball. Something I read forever ago. I don't remember where, though, because a lot of stuff that I'll pull from in terms of reading even here, just I would have read years ago. But, like, apparently in terms of, like, general fandom of teams, good or bad, but probably, like, especially, like, when, like, teams aren't that great at the moment. Like, a lot of it can be tracked to, like, whether or not they were good when you first started getting into sports, which is apparently usually between around like 10 through like midway through high school.
Yeah.
Right. And like, I thought about it and like that tracks, you know, my love, like the Grizzlies, and it doesn't quite track with the Tigers. Like it kind of tracks, it doesn't quite track, but like it definitely tracks for like the Grizzlies with me though. It doesn't track with the Titans at all. I've always been a Titans fan, even though like they wouldn't pay anybody, like even after Eddie George and Steve McNair, and they didn't want to pay anybody and whatever. Granted, I also wasn't watching football like that. That probably helped significantly. But yeah, so like it might just be a thing that like, but like Missouri was still kind of good when we were that age though.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Solid battles, but Kansas was amazing around that time. Like in like notable names, like dudes that were like bigger than life. Like we were having the Rush brothers during that period. But Kareem Rush and guys like that, where it was just kind of like, that's my guy.
Y'all it had
Brandon Rush,
like the Morris twins.
Yes.
Perry Ellis, who felt like he was there forever.
Yeah, I think that's closer to the end where I want to say, you know, Perry Ellis was in college for like 7 years. So like his last 3 years, I think that's around the time where Missouri left the conference. But nah, man, they had so many battles, which is hilarious because I can't think of any of them, but I know we like won all of them. Like I think over like a 5 to 7 year period, we only lost like 2 times to them. Probably why I don't know any Missouri fans, to be honest with you. That's hilarious.
Probably. But all right, so pivoting a little to our, you know, momentary talk of the NBA, because I certainly didn't watch any NBA games. I had options that I would rather watch, just kind of straight up. So, but the Wizards are still good a couple weeks into the season now.
Okay, look, we can keep this one short because I, much like you, I was deep in high school basketball. So if you guys want to do another hour of that, please let me know. But I'm still not super surprised that the Wizards are solid. They have a bunch of pieces with like actual NBA experience of not just losing. Like Spencer Dinwiddie, he's won awards. He's an actual dude. Like we almost got that man into the All-Star game. Kyle Kuzma, the god Kyle Kuzma, the man who made sure LeBron won the NBA championship. That Kyle Kuzma is bringing NBA championship experience to a team that's been on like a really long drought. Of course, Bradley Beal is going to give you 25 to 30 points a game. He might shoot the living piss out the ball, but guess what? He got you the points. Like, it's just it's a well-rounded squad that has a bunch of guys who are going to compete, and I appreciate that.
Right. But they also have some good young talent in the pipeline for later. But like it's also, but for me, I don't know. When I like first saw the roster, and we've mentioned this before, but like it didn't inspire a lot of confidence in me. I was wrong. Right? Like I thought they'd be better than they were last year. I didn't think they'd be good. Right.
Look, it's still early. It's still early, my man.
Yeah, but it's still early, and like when everybody's played 20 games, it'll still be early. But like, it's looking more and more like this might hold.
Yeah, We'll see in February.
Yeah. But, it's, around the 20-game mark, I think. So, injuries and stuff notwithstanding, we more or less know what teams are kind of going to look like for the season. There'll be some movement, but, yeah.
Yeah. But,
we wouldn't expect Milwaukee to be under 500 here. They're apparently under, they're 6-8 right now, which is a little surprising. Yeah. I don't know what their injuries look like. Golden State is... I didn't expect this without Klay Thompson.
Hey, I'm going to be real with you. I expected them to be good. I still don't have full, championship-level confidence in them. But when you have a solid team that has really good shooters, you let Steph be Steph. He had 50 the other day. Then he had 40. Steph is enough of an offensive engine by himself that he's going to keep you in games. It is everyone else's job to push the button. And now that this team is completely healthy, we got Draymond playing really good defense. We got we got Andrew Wiggins being somewhat of a defensive stopper and a guy who can score 20 points and is making some ridiculous shots. He's been doing this for years, but they're tough. And he just kind of knows how to get a bucket. This is probably the Andrew Wiggins that everybody was expecting him to be when he got drafted. And then Jordan Poole has taken a major step. He had a run where he was averaging 27 points a game over four games. They have, realistically speaking, you need about three guys that are always going to push it for you. I think that's part of the reason why we're going to eventually see the Bulls struggle, because when you take certain guys off the floor, the offense is a little stagnant. But you can take a lot of guys. You can take half the guys that I just talked about off the floor, and their offense still look pretty good. They still have Kevon Looney, who was there during the championship time. Your boy James Wiseman is not atrocious. He fits with this team a lot. They have a really good roster.
That's the thing. And that was... So the thing with Wiseman and even... And even my thing last year with him, and it's still true this year, is if you're the Warriors, you don't need him to be... you don't need him or, Kuminga or Moody to be the guy right now. Right? You need them to improve and to, play certain roles that you expect them to grow out of into bigger roles. That's I don't know. It's good to hear. A little expected, whatever. If I may, right, and granted, this is just taking unwarranted shots at the Timberwolves. Everybody has more success when they leave the Timberwolves.
That it is a Timberwolves problem. I do not know. I don't know if that team is built on an ancient burial ground. I don't know if their owner is actively trying to sabotage, or their front office has just been the same exact people for their entire existence. That is loser fuel. I don't know what it is over there, but the minute you get away from it, if you're a solid dude, of course you're going to have success because you're not with the Timberwolves anymore. I need a 30 for 30 on that. Just what is going on over there? Because there's no reason that this should be happening for 30 plus years. And you get talent. Cat should be good enough to get you an 8 seed.
Players who they've wasted to this point. Garnett, Love, Towns currently, Wiggins. In fairness, we can still see what they do. It's not improbable for them to become a decent team, a good team here in the next couple years. Because Anthony Edwards is kind of that dude.
And he might force him. He might force him to be good.
Yeah, he just might. Like, he seems to have his... Like, he seems to have a really solid... Like, his head, like, in a really solid place. When talking about basketball. In addition to apparently just being a highly quotable young man. He's the dude you want to talk to if you're a media person.
The world's most entertaining man, Anthony Edwards. Like, by far.
Yeah. So, and like, you're right, he might just drag them into relevance here before too long. It's just, right, and the front office will take credit, like, we planned this the entire time, and just be like, holy shit, we're actually good. Right?
Which, you know, they are in there giddy, like slapping each other, like, oh my god, we're awesome,
right?
Give it some time.
That said, even with Anthony Edwards being amazing, having Carl Anthony Towns, and I'm pretty, they still have Russell, right?
Yes, they still have D'Angelo Russell. Not having a good season, but he's there.
I mean, like, it's still like he's been a good player, right?
Exactly.
Like, and like, you'd expect them to, you know, start to get it together at some point. Like, even with all that talent, though, they're not good. They're 4-8 right now. Right? Like, and that just doesn't make sense. Like, New Orleans Pelican being trash without
Zion.
Without Zion. And, you know, especially since you know, Lonzo went to the Bulls, who are also playing good basketball. That's not that surprising. And in fairness, what little good they had, what success the Pelicans have had is predicated on Giannis Valanciunas, who is currently being a monster in total obscurity. Right? Just putting up numbers on what is currently a 2-win Pelicans team. Also, is Brandon Ingram playing?
I have no idea.
Hold on. Because I'm just like, I feel like even with Zion out, I would expect them to be a little better.
And if not better, we at least be saying that Brandon Ingram is averaging like 25 or something.
Let's see. No, he's apparently been playing. Let's see what the numbers look like. Let's pull up the tail of the tape. Okay. Brandon Ingram has been averaging 24 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. He's only played 7 games, I'm assuming the most recent ones. Valanciunas is averaging 19 points. Like, he's averaging right at 20 points and 13 rebounds. In addition to 2.7 steals and a block.
Look, I do not know what it is in certain situations why you consistently suck. Maybe that goes to show the depth of the NBA and how bad some people are just building out a roster. Because when we talk about Minnesota, when we talk about the Pelicans, outside of the people you've named, I can't think of anybody on that roster. And I guess when you can only go about 2 or 3 names deep on a roster, that probably leans to them being not good. Like, even with the Wizards, we went like 4 names deep.
I'm looking at their schedule. I'm like, maybe they've been playing good teams, and like, fairness, that kind of seems to be what's been going on for the Pelicans to this point, right? This is who they've played at this point, all right? Philly, Chicago, Minnesota twice, Atlanta, Sacramento, New York, Phoenix, Sacramento again, Golden State, Dallas, Oklahoma City, Brooklyn. And they apparently just got their second win against Memphis, who apparently just got everybody healthy.
Oh, hold up. You mean to tell me they played Minnesota twice, And that wasn't their two wins?
It was, it counts for one of their wins. It counts for one of their wins. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they do sound like they have a front-loaded schedule, but you also said a few names that I would... I don't think the Kings aren't an easy win.
But like, they're doable. Like you should reasonably be able to get them. Or, like, Oklahoma City.
I think both of those are bad matchups for... both of them are bad matchups for the Pelicans because they are super guard heavy. And those guards are going to go after you. Like, De'Aaron Fox is going to cut you up if you don't have somebody that can actually defend. And then it's the same story with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And there's a lot of talent on that OKC team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's like you look at it, it's like, okay, the fact they haven't won like that makes a bit more sense. Because it's like I looked at the Pelicans roster and it's just, granted, you know, a lot of these dudes aren't the first dudes to come to mind when you think of players, but it's just like the roster doesn't actually look that bad. Mm. Right?
What does that bad mean?
Okay, so Brandon Ingram, you have Jonas Valanciunas, you have Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Devontae Graham, Josh Hart. Maybe the issue is the bench. Because I go to the bench and I'm starting like, okay, I don't recognize some of these guys. You have a Herbert Jones, who I have to assume is new. Garrett Temple, Jackson Hayes, Trey Murphy III, Kira Lewis Jr., Najee Marshall, and then some dudes who just haven't gotten PT like that. Just looking at it, it looks like the bench is young.
Yes, and there's a tier jump for players that you named after Jonas Valanciunas. Like, that is like a tier, maybe one or two tiers below the two names that you just said. Yeah. And when you got like a talent disparity, like it's a lot you got to do to make up. Like, you need Zion.
Yeah.
And I don't think you now I'm gonna get this joke off. You mean to tell me Thanksgiving coming up, you're not getting Zion as soon as you think? It's a holiday season in New Orleans, and then he gotta go back to South Carolina to eat with his folk. Boy, you ain't getting Zion back. You know he not asking for the salad.
I just look. They're funny, but I feel like the Zion fat jokes need to stop. He's minding his own business.
He is minding his own business. That's just not basketball shape is the issue. Like I understand, and I'm not trying to be like that person that like eggs it on, because I do understand he has an injury and there might be something even deeper going on. But the issue is when it comes to you winning games or just being on the floor, where he is at is not floor ready. And that's not going to help that record anytime soon. Like, I got a feeling he's not coming back before Christmas.
That's
fair. And if he does come back before Christmas, this is not going to look good. This isn't going to be the Zion that we've been seeing over the last couple years. It's going to take a minute.
That's fair. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that granted, I haven't looked too deep in the Mavericks are kind of surprising me. Like, I so far they're 8-4. And again, a lot of season left, but that's so far they've apparently been better than I would have expected them to be, you know, sitting at the fourth seed right now. Of course, the Jazz a bit.
Yeah, now if we can take a minute to talk about the Mavs, because Calvin, that is my grandmother's favorite team right now. Mm-hmm. So when we watch basketball games together, she asks me all the time, "Who's that Doncic boy?" And I have to like explain to her, and she's like always saying like he reminds me so much of Dirk. Like, I like his game. I like how he plays. She does get a little upset when he goes in, like, baby mode, when he kind of gets, like, upset and whatnot. And I completely get it. But him, you know what Doncic is going to give you. Doncic is going to give you a crazy scoring output and going to make really big plays. Like, a couple of weeks ago, he had a really big game winner. Like, and it was pretty. But it's a fully healthy Porzingis. When Porzingis is fully healthy and trying really hard, and I think an issue might be he is at this point in his career, a regular season player, where he's going to look really good in the regular season. Like, even last year, he looked really good. But as we get farther out, maybe he picks up an injury, or there's just situations where they make him defend away from the paint. That's going to be the issue, because he's having a pretty good season right now. Like, I think he's up there in block leaders. Like, when those two were playing really well together, that's weirdly one of the better duos, even out west.
Okay. Maybe it'll hold up. You know, Jason Kidd is their coach. They're still winning games. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, and like,
the great Jason Kidd, Hall of Fame Jason Kidd. You gotta be specific.
Yeah, but he's a Hall of Famer as a player, not a coach.
Not yet.
I mean,
wait till he go get another ring for Dallas. They'll put him in the Hall of Fame so quick. They'll forget about him throwing that water on the on the court a couple years back.
No, that's definitely gonna be in his 30 for 30, though.
Oh yeah, it needs to be.
Right, just so you can laugh at it.
Like, every Dallas related 30 for 30, every Milwaukee related 30 for 30, anywhere where he's coached, I need that clip of him telling Buddy to bump me. Every single time. Like, it's like, this doesn't fit. Yes, it does. Trust me.
I mean, that's not gonna lie, it's kind of the extent of my NBA knowledge, and doesn't see much going on except for games. Yeah. Right, there's no major injuries, no major stuff on the sideline that wasn't already going on. You know, Ben Simmons is still not playing, and like, you can talk about other people talking about it, but like, that's,
yeah,
the 76ers are still pretty good. Granted, they kind of need a beat on the floor to be any good, but that is what it is at that point. Him and Nurkic have to carry their teams, pretty much. They're just good enough to do that, by and large.
Galvin, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen how much they're fining Ben Simmons each game?
I have to assume it's the pay that you would get for the game. So, like, 380-something thousand?
Yes.
I think it is. Yeah.
Dog, can you imagine losing $1 million a week?
No.
Like, the first time I heard that number, I was like, in my head, I'm like, oh, if I make $380,000 in one day, I'm taking the rest of the year off.
Basically.
Like, I'm not. I was like, wait. Right. Yeah, I get all this? Oh, yeah. Nah, my heel hurt.
It's like, yo, not even that. I can pay off all my folks' stuff, too. Right? And still not have to do anything.
Look, still have $50,000 in the bank. I'm like, no, I'm taking a nap today.
Yeah,
Is that...
It's like, I got all my stuff paid for the year.
Exactly. Is that why we, You know, I was about to get... It's time to end the podcast. Because I was about to get real economic up in here, bro. Well, thank you guys for tuning in for another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I thank you so much for sticking around this long. So go ahead and give us a like, a subscribe, and tell us what college basketball team that you're following closely this season in the comments below. With that being said, Calvin, go ahead and sign us out, my friend.
Okay. Once again, you know, it's been a pleasure. I'm Calvin McGowan. This has been the Traveling Hooper Podcast. Is, of course, you know, if you're joining us on YouTube, like, share, subscribe, some in the comments. You know, of course, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts. Enjoy the rest of your week. And enjoy the rest of, you know, the good basketball that's being played.